Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
তোমার হইবে সফল কৃষ্ণের স্বরূপ লীলা বর্ণিবাণ্যমল Only if you follow the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees will your learning be successful. Then you will be able to write about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna without material contamination. Text 134. এই শ্লোক করিয়াছ পাইয়া সন্তোষ তোমার হৃদয়ের অর্থে দুহায় লাগে দোষ You have composed this instruction, you have composed this introductory verse to your great satisfaction, but the meaning you have expressed is contaminated by offenses to both Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 135
সরস্বতী
সেই শব্দে
করিয়াছে
স্তুতি
স্তুতি
তুমি জয়ছে তৈছে কহো না জানিয়া রীতি সরস্বতী সেই শব্দে করিয়াছে স্তুতি তুমি জয়ছে তৈছে কহো না জানিয়া রীতি সরস্বতী সেই শব্দে করিয়াছে স্তুতি তুমি জয়ছে তৈছে কহো না জানিয়া রীতি সরস্বতী সেই শব্দে করিয়াছে স্তুতি
সরস্বতী
সেই শব্দে করিয়াছে
Saraswati has used your words to offer her prayers to the Supreme Lord. Please repeat after me. You have written something irregular.
You have written something irregular.
Not knowing the regulative principle.
Not knowing the regulative principle.
But the goddess of learning.
But the goddess of learning.
Saraswati.
Saraswati
has used your words.
Has used your words
to offer her prayers to the Supreme Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Swarup Damodar Goswami informed the Bengali poet, because of your ignorance and your leaning towards Mayavad philosophy, you cannot distinguish the difference between the Mayavad and Vaishnava philosophies. Therefore, the process you have adopted by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath does not follow the proper system. Indeed, it is irregular and offensive. Fortunately, however, through your words, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, has tactfully offered her prayers to her master, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, one Bengali poet came to Jagannath. He was an acquaintance of Bhagavan Acharya, and he wrote some drama, he wrote some poetry, so he started to recite them to Bhagavan Acharya. And Bhagavan Acharya was very impressed, and other devotees also were quite impressed by hearing some drama. And they thought that it would be, and those dramas were apparently glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those poetry were glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotees thought that they should take this writing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and let him hear that, because they thought that would please him very much. But it was a custom that whatever was presented to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was first presented to Sarvadhamma Goswami. Sarvadhamma Goswami was an expert in Rasa Shastra. He was an expert in the art of writing, and he was also an expert in the depth of devotional principles. So although everyone was very impressed to read the writings of that poet, Bengali poet, but when it was taken to Sarvadhamma, Sarvadhamma became very upset, because this person made a difference, although he compared Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Lord Jagannath, but he made a difference, and he described Lord Jagannath as non-moving Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the moving Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Sarvadhamma Goswami pointed that out, and he chastised him. And here he is pointing out that your writing has been contaminated by, you cannot distinguish the difference between Mayavad and Vaishnava philosophy. The Mayavad philosophy is to consider, Mayavad philosophy considers that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Absolute Truth, is impersonal. He is without any form, he is without any quality, without any potency, and he is without any variativeness. So ultimately everything is Brahman. But the Vaishnava philosophy is very different. Vaishnava philosophy deals with three aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahman aspect, which is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Paramatma, the super soul aspect of the Lord, in which form he is present in everyone's heart, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, who is endowed with six opulences, and he is one without a second. He is the Supreme. Supreme means no one is equal to him, and no one is superior. And this Vaishnava philosophy is actually the actual, real Vedic understanding. It is not that Vaishnavas have their understanding and the impersonal self, their understanding. They develop two different understandings due to their difference of sect, being two different sects. No, Vaishnava understanding is a real understanding. Vedas. The Vaishnava understanding is the perfect understanding of the essence of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam. Or Vaishnava understanding has been presented in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the real understanding. But impersonalism is one aspect of the spiritual understanding, and that is called Brahmavad. But Shankaracharya came and he introduced a new philosophy, and that is called Mayavad. There is a difference between Brahmavad and Mayavad. The Brahmavad is positive impersonalism. It's one aspect of understanding of the spiritual reality, which is impersonal from that point of view. But Mayavad is a new introduction by Shankara. The Brahmavad is a Vedic understanding. Like, there are many Brahmavadis who later on became devotees. Like the four Kumars were Brahmavadis, impersonalists at the beginning. But then they became devotees. Even Sukadeva Goswami at the beginning, he was an impersonalist. But then he became a devotee, Vaishnava. So that is one aspect of understanding, which is, this theory is presented by Vyasadeva himself, which is called Brahma Parinamvad. In simple words, it would be the transformation, the theory of transformation. Brahma Parinam. Parinam means transformation. The Brahman has transformed into Jagat. So that is the Vedic understanding. But Shankaracharya introduced something new. And he himself admitted that. He, in Vishnu Puran, it has been mentioned, Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, Mayavadam Ashat Shastra, Prachanna Bhautam Uchyate, Mayaiva Vihitam Devi Kalau Brahmana Murtina. In the age of Kali appearing in a Brahman, as a Brahman, Brahmana Murtina, I will introduce a temporary theory, temporary conclusion of the way. Mayavadam Ashat Shastra. Ashat, Shat means permanent, eternal, and Ashat means temporary. Ashat can also mean unbonafide. Ashat can also mean contaminated. So Lord Shiva is admitting himself that I will introduce a philosophy which is Prachanna Bhautam Uchyate, which is covered Buddhism. In the age of Kali, appearing as a Brahman. So why it is covered Buddhism, that has been explained, that Lord Buddha, Krishna came as Buddha, and he introduced a new dharma, and rejected the Vedas. He introduced a kind of dharma for the sake of stopping, so for the sake of preventing the animal slaughter that was going on in the name of Vedic ritual, in the name of Vedic sacrifice. Nindashi Jagga Videraha Shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam keshavadrita buddha sharira. Keshav, Krishna, appeared as Buddha in order to stop the animal sacrifice that was going on in the name of Jagga Vidhi, the practice of the sacrifice prescribed in the Vedas. And in order to do that, in order to stop the animal sacrifice, he had to reject the Vedas. But Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing the Vedna Maniya Bodha Hoila Nasti. Since the Buddhists do not accept the Vedas, they are atheists. They are atheists. Because they do not accept the Vedas, therefore they became atheists. So Buddhism is covered atheism and Mayavad is covered Buddhism. So means that Mayavad is a form of atheism that was presented in the name of Vedic understanding. And why Shankaracharya had to do that? Because the Lord himself is asking him to do that. He rejected the Vedas. Actually, Buddha didn't reject the Vedas. Buddha did not touch the Vedas. Buddha's presentation was that dharma is to follow the 10 principles. The 10 principles, one can say, in the moral goodness. Speak the truth, don't hurt anybody, don't harm anybody, thou shalt not kill, and so forth. Interestingly, Buddha gave 10 commandments, and Moses also received 10 commandments from God. So, but his 10 commandments are quite similar. But the thing is that this is specifically establishing the principle of non-violence. And he just said that this is the 10 principles of dharma. And the goal, and when you follow these 10 principles, then you will be situated in the path of dharma, and then ultimately you will achieve nirvana. The goal of life is to achieve nirvana, and nirvana means to become nothing. And our understanding is because of our existence in the material nature, we are suffering. So if we are non-existent, we don't be suffering. But already, cultured, educated, intelligent, thoughtful people became quite disgusted with what was going on in the name of the Vedic scriptures. And the Brahmanas, not Brahmanas, actually some demons took birth in the Brahmana families in the age of Kali. And in the name of practicing the Vedic principles, in the name of following the Vedas, they introduced all kinds of undesirable activities. Like one is animal sacrifice. And so what was going on in the name of the Vedas was quite repulsive to thoughtful, intelligent people. So when Buddha came to this understanding and propagated this policy, this theory of dharma, then those people accepted that. And then due to the patronage of the kings like King Ashoka, it spread all over India and went out of India. It went spread even out of India, like Sri Lanka. It went all the way up to Tibet, China, to Japan, due to this patronage. So at that time, the whole of India became, practically, the whole of India became Buddhist. But the Buddhists did not accept the Vedas. So, and if one doesn't accept the Vedas, you don't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaishya sarvai ahamya praveda. The only way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is through the Vedas. Now if someone doesn't accept the Vedas, he won't understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he will be a Gnostic. So it has been pointed out, Veda Namanya, because the Buddhists, since the Buddhists do not accept the Vedas, they became Gnostics. They became atheists. Therefore, there was a need to re-establish the Vedas. Buddha disregarded the Vedas, and the Vedas, Vedic supremacy, or the supremacy of the Vedic wisdom, was lost practically. Therefore, Buddha told Shankaracharya to come and re-establish the Vedas. Or rather, he told Lord Shiva to come and re-establish the Vedas, and he, appearing as Shankaracharya, he did that. And it's interesting to note how he did that. Like, Buddhists, they established or they accepted the principle that Nirvana is the ultimate goal of life, and Nirvana means to become nothing. So Shankaracharya came and he raised an argument that you all are saying that Nirvana means to become nothing, but Nirvana is actually the concept from the Vedas. Nirvana is a Vedic concept, and Nirvana, according to the Vedas, is not becoming nothing, but it means to become one with the ultimate absolute. So in this way he challenged them. Now Shankaracharya had to come up with a new philosophy, new siddhanta, because otherwise the Buddhists won't accept it. So Vedas clearly mentions about these three aspects, three features of the absolute. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shaktati. So in order to avoid that challenge, that, well, your Vedas are completely different from what we follow, so we don't have to accept your Vedas. So in order to defeat them, Shankaracharya came up with this theory that the personal feature of the Lord is imaginary. And the ultimate absolute is Brahman. And everything is a transformation. Everything is coming from Brahman. Brahman is the reality, the truth. And this material manifestation, Jai Shri Shri Radha, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana, Jai Shri Shri. So the Brahman, the absolute, is devoid of form, devoid of, it is devoid of potency, nirakar, nishakti, nirvishesh, with devoid of variegatedness. So this Brahman is the ultimate absolute truth. And this material nature is an illusion. Now here is the difference between, as I was saying, there is a positive impersonalism and negative impersonalism. Brahmavad and Mayavad. The Brahmavad is a theory of transformation. Brahman was transformed into Jagat. Brahman transformed into matter, Jagat. And beyond that, this Jagat is a transformation of Brahman. When you go beyond Brahman, then we come across two other aspects of the Absolute Truth. One is the Paramatma aspect, and the other is the Bhagavan aspect. And both are personal. Both have their personal features. The Paramatma is an inactive aspect of the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavan aspect is his personal, reciprocating aspect with his devotees. That is his absolute, ultimate absolute feature. In that feature, he is all attractive. And he is endowed with all the potency, and specially, he is endowed with six opulences. Those six opulences, the word Bhagavan literally means the personality who is endowed with six opulences. Those six opulences are absolute wealth, absolute strength, absolute beauty, absolute fame, absolute wisdom, and absolute renunciation. Now, who is that personality who is endowed with all these? Is there anybody? No. But the Vedas are saying, yes, there is someone. Who is not at present in this material nature, but he is the origin of everything, shelter of everything, and the source of everything. He is situated in the transcendental reality beyond this material nature. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is without a second, who is the ultimate absolute personality of Godhead. No one is equal to him, and no one is superior to him. So that is the Vedic understanding. So, like, initially one may understand him as the impersonal Brahman, but transcending that aspect, when he goes beyond that Brahman realization, he will come across his Paramatma understanding. He will come across his Paramatma feature. And then beyond Paramatma feature, he will understand his Bhagavan feature. And this is the result of three different stages of spiritual advancement. Like through jnana, when one makes the approach to understand the ultimate absolute reality, ultimate absolute truth, through jnana, through the endeavor of knowledge, he sees him as Brahmajyoti. When one internalizes himself through the process of Ashtanga Yoga and achieves his ultimate perfection, he sees him as the super soul in the core of his heart. And then when one surrenders himself unto him and renders loving devotional service to him, then he sees him. And this Bhagavan feature of that Supreme Personality is the original, actual identity of that personality. So this is Brahmavad, like we are seeing, as I mentioned earlier, like through Brahmavad, through this positive approach of impersonalism, one can gradually come to the stage of developing one's loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and see him as Bhagavan. But Shankaracharya developed another theory that is called Vivartavad, or or the theory of illusion. It's not there, but it appears to be there. Like Brahma Satya and Jagat is mitha. It's illusory. It is not there, but it appears to be there. The variety in this material nature appears to be there, but it's due to illusion. And when the illusion will be dispelled, then one will see him as impersonal Brahman. So that is Shankaracharya's Vivartavad, and Shankaracharya took a few secondary statements from the Vedas and established his theory. The statements like Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, everything is Brahma. Then Tattavashi, you are that, Shetaketu, from statement from the Upanishad. That you are that, Brahma. So you are Brahman, and Brahman is impersonal, therefore you are impersonal. Ultimately, everything is devoid of form and variety and potency. But he did it. Shankaracharya had to do that in order to re-establish the Vedas. And he did re-establish the Vedas. He drove out Buddhism from India. Like at a time when the whole of India was under the grip of Buddhism, Shankaracharya single-handedly drove Buddhism out of India. And that's why in today's India we rarely see any Buddhism. So, very expertly, he has achieved that mission which was assigned to him by the Supreme Personality of God. But as he himself said, Asha Chakra, it is a temporary conclusion of the process. Because then this understanding will be removed and the Vedas will be re-established in its full glory. And in order to do that, Ramanujacharya came, Madhvacharya came and confirmed, re-established the Vedic concept in its perfect understanding and perfect conclusion. That is, personalism was re-established. Ramanujacharya did it very wonderfully, very expertly. He defeated Shankaracharya's theories. And to mention a few, like Shankaracharya established the theory of Mayavad, saying, giving some examples like the way we mistake Niraj to be water. It's an illusion. Just as there is no water in the Niraj, but it appears to be water. Actually, it's hot sand, burning hot sand, but it appears to be water. Or as one mistakes a rope to be a snake. Similarly, this jagat is mitha or illusory. It appears to be, but actually it is not. And when an illusion will be over, then we will see that everything is Brahman. But Ramanujacharya came up with some very wonderful arguments, and just to name a few, like he defeated this concept that illusion. It is not there, but it appears to be there. There is no water in the mirage, but it appears to be water. So Ramanujacharya raised the argument that fine, there is no water in the mirage, but somewhere the water is existing. That's why we mistake the mirage to be water. So variety may not be there in this nature. The variety of this nature may not be real, but somewhere the real object is existing. That's why we are mistaking this to be that. There may not be snake in the water, in the rope, but somewhere the snake is existing. That's why you are mistaking the rope to be a snake. So, in this way, he established above Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad, non-dual, absolute, non-dual. Kevala Advaitavada, non-dualism, he established his Vishishtha Advaitavada, the very specific non-dualism. And that is the variety of this material nature actually is a reflection of the spiritual variety. But the spiritual nature is different from material nature. That entire spiritual sky is spiritual, therefore it is Brahman. But in Brahman, in that non-dual absolute, there is variety. From a material perspective, when we see the spiritual reality, it will appear to be, yes, spiritual, pure spiritual reality. It is spiritual. Everything there is spiritual. But inside that spiritual reality, there is variety, there is spiritual. And Madhvacharya came and he further reinforced this concept of duality. The material nature and spiritual nature, there are two different natures of duality. And the material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality. So whatever is there in the reflection must be existing in the reality. Otherwise, how the reflection is there? In the reflection, when we see green leaves, red flowers and yellow fruits, we have to understand that in actual tree there are green leaves, there are red flowers and yellow fruits. That's why in the reflection we are seeing them. The reality may not be there in the reflection, but somewhere the reality is existing, and that reality is transcendental to the material nature. But as a result of that, there was a problem, there was a conflict. An endless conflict between the impersonalists and the personalists. The Shaivites and Vaishnavites. Shankaracharya's followers were generally followers of Lord Shiva, Shaivites. The impersonalists, Mayavadis, were basically Shaivites. So, so there was a conflict, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu harmonized that conflict in the most wonderful way through his Achinta Veda Veda. To begin with, it is Achinta. It is beyond our sense perception, beyond even our thoughts, beyond even our intellect. Achinta. And the definition of Achinta is Achinta Khalu Je Bhava Nakamsakyana Veda Veda. Prakriti Bhaparejastu Tad Achinta Selekshana. Achinta, first of all, Achinta Khalu Jivhava, that is Achinta, beyond our self-perception, cannot be established through arguments and logic. Not unstarkena. And Achinta Shulakshanam, the symptom or the symptom of Achinta is it is beyond this material nature. Prakriti. That is beyond this material nature, that is Achinta. So beyond this material nature, there is another reality, the spiritual reality. But that reality is beyond our self-perception. Therefore, we cannot establish that reality by arguments and logic. The only way to understand that is through the Shraddha Pantha, by hearing from an authoritative source, bona fide source. That knowledge is coming down from that reality, down to this reality. This nature. And this is another thing that the Vaishnava philosophy understands or establishes, that the Jagat is not mitha, Jagat is not false, Jagat is also real. But it is real as a reflection. The real reality is covered, but it is existing in another form, and that is real. It is very much real that we all are here. We cannot say that it is all mitha. We all are here. When something happens, we cannot say that. When something happens to us, we cannot say it's not happening to us. When there is no food in the stomach, we can't say jagat mitha. So, we have to understand that we are in a reality that is not absolute reality, but it's a relative reality. The relative reality because we are identifying ourselves with a material body. Although we are spiritual beings, but we are by mistake identifying ourselves with this material body. That is what is the illusion. Not the illusion, that is what the reflection on that dream. Like we are dreaming of something. Now, when we are dreaming, it is real, it is there. In a dream, when a tiger comes and pounces upon us, we scream. It's real, as a dream it is real. But when you wake up, then you see that it was a dream. So similarly, our existence in this material nature is like a dream. Now the difference is that this difference about this dream and that dream are one is an individual dream and this is a collective dream. When I see in a dream that a tiger is pouncing on me and I scream, that dream only I am seeing by myself. But when something happens in this room, all who are present in this room will experience that same dream. So that is the difference, this is a collective dream. Whoever is present at certain time and certain space will go through the same experience, although he will experience it from his own perspective. And eventually, what is this dream? This dream is the dream of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is lying in Jagannidra, and we all are projected into material nature. The way Mahavishnu is glancing towards the material nature and the way we are getting tuned up to that, we are seeing it from that perspective. But when we get tuned up to know Mahavishnu, then we have a totally different understanding. Then we will see that it is actually happening in Mahavishnu's glance. And since Mahavishnu is absolute truth, Mahavishnu's glance is also absolute truth. It's not mithya. It's not false. Everything relative to absolute is absolute. Anything related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute. His glance to the material nature is absolute. So whatever is happening to his material nature is absolute. We cannot say that it is mithya. So that is another way Ramanuja smashed Shankaracharya. There are many other ways he actually smashed. He starts with the thing that if God is a man's creation, then what's the use of worshipping that God? If a man is a product of God, man's imagination, the forms are imaginary, then why worship? Get it? Don't bother about him at all. And this is how he starts off. That, do we accept the absolute as a controller, as a proprietor, as the creator? Then how can that be non-intelligent, impersonal being? The person who created this must be an intelligent being. The person who is maintaining it in such a wonderful way must be an intelligent being. So what is the source of that intelligence? The source of intelligence must be personal. And he is the absolute spiritual personality. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu harmonized this through this conflict between the impersonalists and Vaishnavas through his Achintya-bhavita. We found many of those Mayavadis, staunch followers of Sri Shankaracharya, became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. To begin with, one of the first ones that became converted was Sarvam Bhattacharya. Sarvam Bhattacharya was the most brilliant Vedanta scholar, Vedanta, most brilliant exponent of Vedanta philosophy. I mean, he was worshipped all over. He was recognized and worshipped all over India at that time. He was the crest jewel of all the Mayavadis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is transformed. He became a devotee. And when this news spread that Sarvam Bhattacharya became Vaishnava, became a devotee of the Lord, became a personalist, the impersonalist world, Mayavadis, became very, very upset. They were very angry. And And that is why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Benares, and that was the seat of the Mayavadis. Prakashananda Sarasvati was the leader of sannyasis. He was the leader of 64,000 sannyasis in Benares. And Benares, Kashi, was the place of Lord Shiva, California. It was the seat of the Mayavadis. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were very, very insulting. Prabhashanandarashati used to open the doors at Mahaprabhu when he was in Benares. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed him. And all 64,000 Mayavadis became devotees. So this is the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is the potency of this, of his teachings. If we properly present this philosophy, and if the other person is willing to listen carefully, then he is bound to become convinced. There is no other way. We cannot deny the authenticity of the presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya-Vedanta Tantra, which is actually the essence of the Vedic. So anyway, the point is that at that time many, many people were affected by Mayavada philosophy as this particular point. And it was so subtle. Sometimes this presentation of the Mayavadis can be so subtle that common people cannot actually understand. Like for example, recently I just came across one statement. I don't know how I may be wrong, but it came to me, and somebody was telling me that Tulsidas is Ramayana. Apparently, Tulsidas appears to be a great devotee, and he is a great devotee of Lord Ram. But this person was telling me that Tulsidas actually mentioned in his Ramcharitmanas that if one goes and takes bath in Rameshwaram, then he achieves Sahaja Mukti. So, why should, and that person, she was a lady actually. She took the thread from one of our classes, and she said, she mentioned that if Sahaja Mukti is given to the demons, then why should a devotee aspire for Sahaja Mukti? That's a very, very valid point. Like Sahaja Mukti is given to the demons who are killed by the Lord. So why should a devotee want something that is given to the demons? Of course, I mean, I couldn't tell her. I didn't want to start criticizing Tulsidas at that time. My statement actually, or my point actually was that please show it to me. I haven't read Ramcharitmanas. I don't know what Tulsidas has said. But this way you can see, if it is true, then you can, it confirms. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually mentioned that Tulsidas is a sentimentalist, is a Mayavadi sentimentalist. His devotion to Ramchandra is not a real devotion. Now if he thinks that ultimately Ramchandra is impersonal, then what's the question of devotion to Ramchandra? Anyway, like the thing is that the point that I am trying to make here is sometimes this presentation of these Mayavadis are so subtle. As a, out of sentiment, they could display a lot of love and emotion and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But ultimately, so that ultimate consideration is the most. What is the ultimate understanding? Do you accept him as the ultimate absolute personality or not? Do you accept that his form is Sachidananda, made of eternity knowledge? His form is eternal. And we all have a loving relationship with him. We all are his parts and parcels. So that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's the real understanding of the Supreme Personality. So here also, although the devotees, can you imagine, Mahaprabhu's associates are considering that it's a great presentation. What a wonderful glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarudamadhar, when he read it, he said, this is all nonsense. So nonsense, you're a Mayavadi. So that is Sarudamadhar's perception. He just exposed him right there. And then he pointed out, Jaho Bhagavat Paro Bhagavat Usthani. Go and study Bhagavat from a devotee Bhagavat. And that is the way to understand Bhagavat, that's the way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless and until we approach a devotee, unless and until we receive the mercy of a devotee, we cannot possibly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so this is how Sarudamadhar exposed this person. And he was a humble person. He accepted Sarudamadhar's chastisement. He accepted it and he became a devotee of Chaitanya. So that is a nice thing. Although he was contaminated by this Mayavad misconception, but when he was exposed to the proper understanding, he accepted it. And Sarudamadhar pointed out that although you have actually misrepresented Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity by thinking that Lord Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are two different personalities. That one is unmoving Supreme Personality and the other is moving Supreme Personality. As if there are two different personalities. One is moving and the other is static. No, Jagannath is not static. Jagannath is not non-moving. Jagannath can move. Jagannath, whenever he wants, he goes out. He goes out and he does all kinds of wonderful things. Like, he goes and steals jackfruit from the tree. And when the farmer chases him, he runs. This is how Lord Jagannath is Sachal. Lord Jagannath is not Achal, not non-moving. Lord Jagannath is moving. It's your problem that you can't see his movement with your damn... I'm sorry. with your unfortunate blindness. So it's our problem that our vision is contaminated by this conditioned nature of this material platform. But when our eyes become purified, then with our transcendental spiritualized vision, we'll be able to see how the Lord is moving, how Lord reciprocates. And there are so many wonderful examples. Like Sakshi Gopal walked all the way from Vrindavan to Vidyanagar, South India. From North India, he walked all the way to South India. Just to give a witness to his devotee. And the devotee's logic was, when Jagannath told him that, look, I'm a vigraha, I'm a mukti, how can I move? And his argument was, if he can talk, if you can talk, you can walk. And the faith of the devotee compelled Jagannath to walk all the way to Vidyanagar. It is the faith of a devotee that compels Gopinath to steal Kheer. Kheer Chor Gopinath. And not only steal it, hide it. And it is out of his devotion when he appeared to the devotee Pujari in a dream. The Pujari didn't think that, well, it was just a dream and didn't turn around and go to sleep. He immediately woke up, took bath, went to the temple, and he found that yes, the pot was there. He kept it in such a wonderful way, behind his cloth, behind his dhoti, and no one saw it. And he told them, look, when Gopinath appeared to him, to the Pujari, and told him, that look, there is this Madhavendra Puri, I take some key for him, so you go and give it to him. So Pujari's response was, well, all the key has been distributed last night, there's nothing left. And Gopinath said, no, I kept one for the son. Where was that? Just, it means behind my dhoti, under my dhoti, covered by my dhoti. And he went there and he found that the key, the potted key was there. And he went and announced to the marketplace, which is completely empty at night, that Madhavendra called out to Madhavendra Puri and narrated the whole incident. So this is how the Lord reciprocates with his devotee's devotion. And it's our misfortune that we cannot see how he is the Supreme Personality, the personality upon the statue. So in this way the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. And when we are chastised by the devotees for our mistake and accept the chastisement of the right spirit, will only make spiritual advancement. And Sharadamala pointed out that although you have, out of your ignorance, described it, him in a certain way, but ultimately, Saraswati has actually glorified the Lord through your misconception. So Saraswati has his way of glorifying the Lord. So that will be discussed in the next class, in the next class, in the next few verses. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Go with Premanande. Does anybody have any questions?